Friends and professionals, we are live in Nevada with the one and only Mosé Gatling. Now, for those of you that have been following along on the Modern Lending Podcast for season four, this is the Road to 100 Million theme. There's a big fun training thing I'm doing with a bunch of crazy loan officers that want to get to $100 million. So I figured what better for season four of the podcast than to bring on actual $100 million producers who have crested a milestone that people dream about. And it's incredible. It takes a lot of hard work. So Mosé, what was your last year's fundings?
Last year, approximately, or just over about 128 million.
How many units?
About 490.
So the best part about Mosé is I'm doing my monthly sales awards, whatever we do. And it was December last year. You remember this. Absolutely. How many units did you close in December last year?
98.
How many purchases?
98.
No, just let that sit in on somebody. 98. I looked at the screen, and first of all, how pissed were you that you didn't get 100? 98.
I was really mad. I actually had on a jumpsuit because I was like dressed like Betty White. I was an official golden girl. Like I was ready.
So this gal in December last year, when a bunch of people were doing refis, refi-create, love refis, all good. Yeah. 98 purchase closings in 1 month. To over 400 closings for the year, over $100 million. This is one of the most badasses of badasses in lending. And so let's hear your story a little bit. Let's talk for people that want, people want to get to 100 million. It's a big number. It's a big objective. Now, different states have different loan amounts. So you got to do a lot to get there. Yeah. But let's start with the origin here. How did you get into lending?
I got into lending, believe it or not. I was in banking initially.
Like you do.
Super corny. I was a teller in high school, part-time.
Perfect.
Went to work for a credit card company.
Yes.
And then dipped the toe in the pool to mortgage several years ago. I might have to kill you if I told you.
Yeah, because
I'm going to let everybody think I'm younger than I am right now, if you think that. But never turned back after coming to mortgage because I like the challenge, the difference, something new, something to tackle differently every single day.
Yeah, it's
not mundane.
Yeah. So I'm assuming, but I shouldn't do that, that last year was your best year. Is that fair?
Yes.
And how much of your business, if you just as a percentage, was purchased last year?
I did 5 refinances last year.
Mary Bain should hashtag queen. Yeah, she is the queen. 5 refis last year. Now we can talk about how she probably should have done some refinances, but that's not the part of this call. That's a different coaching session.
I'm sorry.
But unbelievable numbers, unbelievable results, best year ever. What do you think this year's going to be? By the way, have you gotten any? I mean, we're early.
I would say probably about the same.
About the same.
Yes,
pretty amazing.
Probably about the same.
So let's go back on your story here a little bit. So you found lending.
Yes.
You kind of fell in love with the problems and the problem solving.
Yes.
But it's also really stressful.
It can be very stressful.
Okay. I mean, you're just being graceful. I think she handles probably stress better than anybody. But what makes you stay in this industry? Because some people that they don't survive lending.
Right.
What do you think makes you stay in here?
It is the feeling that you get when you have that problem to kind of tackle.
Yeah.
And you're able to talk to somebody, explain it to them, give them maybe even a plan, even if you can't lend to them right that moment. And they work hard to try to own a home. And they come back and it happens for them.
Yeah.
That right there, that adrenaline rush. Yeah. That satisfaction, like I'm doing good in the world right now.
You are.
To not give up on people because everybody, I'm again, kind of like I love Ratatouille, the movie. So everybody can cook. Everybody can buy a home, I believe.
Yeah.
It's just when.
Yeah.
And how your path is to get there. Yep. So by taking that time with somebody and not just simply saying, hey, I can't qualify you, is kind of maybe my give back to my community as well. Because I feel that some way, somehow, if I'm teaching them how to get there, that's going to come full circle at some point.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. What I love about that, Mosé, is you can't replace that empathy, that love for people with if you're money hungry in lending, you never get the results Mosé gets. You just can't pair that together. Because a lot of people come into lending because they can make some good money, very entrepreneurial. And I think we love those things too.
Oh, absolutely.
But if your core isn't what you're talking about, I don't think you survive.
I just love it. And not to mention, I love to laugh instead of cry. I'll have a t-shirt if Alec ever invites me back. No crying in mortgage.
Like, no, that's my favorite.
Like, yeah, seriously, I always say that. There's no crying in mortgage. Like, if, don't start sniffling because I need you to suck that up. We're not going to cry. We're going to laugh about something. And it helps around the office to be that way and to be joking. And when I went out of town, I handed out like little paper lunch sacks with the date of the week on it because I was giving them to my assistant. So she had one bag a day, non-toxic markers, by the way, to kind of breathe into while I was gone. But again, she doesn't get to cry. We're going to go ahead and laugh through this. And when I come back, you can just exhale and be like, oh my gosh, I had no idea. But she got a kick out of it because it made her laugh that I thought about her. And here's your paper sacks for each day.
Oh my God.
That's with so non-toxic good. Marker, yeah, like course, I said, so you, I'm not killing it. You. Yes. Inhaling markers, I'm not doing that, okay? But that we can laugh about this. And, you know, it gives them the maybe that little oomph that they need to kind of push through and know that this will all work, you know?
Okay, so we got the story a little bit going here. You found lending, you found love. Obviously, you can tell in your heart your passion for the people, the job you do, the responsibility you feel to the community you serve. All those things are amazing. Do you remember, did you have it early on in your career breakthrough moment? Do you have something that happened in your career that helped you launch to the next level? Because what I'm trying to piece together here is, you know, most people's stories, they have these moments where something happened and they kind of broke through, or there was an event that something, you know, this business is hard to get to where you're at.
Do you remember? I'm going to be the corny LO that says when I came to Loan Depot.
Okay. I like, well, we can go there.
It's corny, but yes, that's kind of what catapulted me because I feel that I've always been me on true. Just a, maybe a different company or working in a different capacity. But when I came to Loan Depot, you guys let me wave my no crying and mortgage flag and be me. You know what
well,
I'm saying? And
well,
be
me. Let's go through this part of the story. So you fell into, when did you get into the builder business?
I got into the builder business back in, at the end of 1995.
Okay. And you were just working in a joint venture or working in a?
I was just working in a branch.
Yeah. Supporting a builder.
Supporting a builder. Okay. And then the joint venture was formed in January of, I lied, I said, 2005. So 2005. So January in 2006 is when the joint venture was formed and I decided to join that.
Yes. And you got in trouble there.
I got in trouble all the time.
You got in trouble there for what?
For a variety of things.
Making too much money?
Yeah. I got in trouble for making too much money.
That's amazing.
My mentors that actually, it's crazy. They also work at Loan Depot.
Oh, cool. That's
okay.
Cool.
Now, and we were at a different place at that time. They kicked my butt though. They kind of taught me what builder business was, what it needed to be, the level of discipline and tracking and kind of knowing where everything is. So I became a master of that part.
Yep.
So combine that with my personal superpowers I already had, loving the community, the people, and offering something for the community. It was insane. But then, yeah, I got in trouble for making too much money because they said that they want you to make.
I get it. That's their model.
All over 100 grand.
Yeah, they're like, hey, do what you do. So you decide to leave.
I decided to walk away.
Which is, it's crazy because, you know, a lot of people even, you know, you're looking at opportunity and, safety almost.
Yeah.
You know, you're looking at all the safety. You got kind of captured business that's going to come in. You're going to work it. Mm-hmm. You know, you got to be good.
For 10 years.
You have 10 years.
10 years and walked away. Like.
So now you have nothing.
Zero, and please don't tell anybody you're leaving.
Yep.
Sneak out the back door and we'll control the messaging. Don't take anything with you or
So now you just took 10 years of your career, built relationships, the whole thing, and now you've walked away.
Walked all the way away.
So now let's kind of fast forward to Loan Depot. You find your way here.
Yes.
And you've had to recreate yourself.
I did.
So let's go through that process. How did you do that? How did you go from effectively, you know, just some relationships, the builder's over there now. Mm-hmm. What did you do?
I started with the reason that I love to do what I do. I went out to the community. I volunteered. I joined a real estate association that was really dialed into that and teaching people about how credit in general works. Yeah. How do you even get to the point of borrowing money?
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of people that don't know and don't realize. That came with literally handing out food and helping children and teaching finance. Because again, that's where my heart is anyway. And I really want to give more than I take in this lifetime.
So I just want everyone to hear this again before we just skip over this fact. Because a lot of people, when they're recreating themselves, and you maybe have heard loan officers about this, they talk about, you know, running back into real estate boards and companies, which Mose was doing, is very mm-hmm. important. But the thing that is overlooked by so many people is this, the reality of opportunity comes through service to other human beings. And I believe that in my heart. And you're just the sure. perfect example. So you're validating my belief. So thank you. but that's a great example of like, you went out and you served the community. You yes. educated, you got into the dirt with people. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know if you were on billboards or not, but it sounds like you were in the street versus on billboards.
Correct. And I've never had a billboard.
See, I'm just such a fan of that because that's where the people are.
Yes.
That's where you make impact.
Yes.
Okay. And so you're there serving, working it hard. What happened? How'd you continue to build your business?
I started to be able to, I met people, of course. I met real estate agents. I met people that actually handled down payment assistance, worked at down payment assistance agencies, offered things like that. Well, in doing loans every day and getting feedback from regular people in the community, I would have questions for them about why we're doing it this way. Mm. And can you explain this to me? Because this doesn't seem to line up with where we are and what DU findings and updates to DU are asking for. So they were intrigued by the fact that I would have questions that were pertinent and not just that I don't like that this is being done. So we started talking maybe a lot more.
Yeah.
Because that makes me a little bit different, I guess, in our industry, where it's not just that I like it. I'm making make sense assessments of what's out there and what can and can't be done and what's actually live in the community and getting that feedback to them that they don't normally get.
Yep.
So by doing that, I became, I guess, known in that arena more than just finding real estate agents that know me. But they did know me because of the, I'm putting in the work. They see me doing the work. I'm working with them in those arenas. And having that make sense point of view and being able to give data and information to people also makes you invaluable. Not reciting guidelines. Let me clarify that.
Yeah.
So if I'm going to talk about FHA, VA, conventional and jumbo guidelines, I'm the same as them. Somebody gave me the most valuable advice. Don't be the idiot stick that stands in front of a bunch of people telling them you return emails and phone calls. You're an idiot stick. Okay.
Yeah, I'm with you.
So we need to keep it pushing when it comes to that, but having real life assessments and opinions about how to get people where they need to be and not talking mortgage speak when you do so is big. So you're relatable as a human being, not someone that can regurgitate information.
So keep me going on the journey here because, you know, it sounds like you're still building and building and building.
Yes.
I know you're working with some builders now.
Yes.
How did you get that back after you had walked from it all?
Again, meeting people, talking to people, when they asked my opinion, I gave them my honest opinion. First, I asked them if they were ready for it.
Okay. So this is something that maybe you don't know about Mose. So, and then this is a superpower and I want you to tell the story, but I want everyone to understand the context of this. You know, you are one of the most honest, straightforward shooters that I've met in my career. You tell it like it is. You don't hold back. You're not rude or unprofessional, but you definitely will go like, this is not working or this is working or this is a problem. And you just come right at the problem head on.
Absolutely.
And so, you know, obviously you're building a reputation with that type of honesty. And as a partner, someone looking for a partner that, you know, it's pretty valuable.
Yes.
They don't want their butt kissed. They want solutions.
Correct. The right, you will find, look, my grandma used to say, there's a lid for every pot, baby. Okay. So, and I tell my team that all the time because there's going to be people that want that. They don't want to surround themselves with butt kissers or people that BS them.
Yep.
They want a real assessment of what's going on and an opinion that's formed based on facts and data. So yes, at first I had to ask, hey, can I be honest? And then I don't have to ask that anymore after a while, because they realize that they're always going to get it exactly as it is. So instead of being just a loan officer, I'm that person they can come to and get an honest assessment from, which makes you invaluable.
Yep. Opens up new partnerships.
Absolutely. Because you have a valuable opinion that's not slanted just towards me getting a loan. Because I can give an opinion and it benefits my business partner, and it's not immediately a monetary reward for me.
Yes.
In the long game, it is.
Yes.
Because I'm, again, a valuable advisor,
that's
consultant,
a good perspective, though. That's
whatever
a good
that
perspective.
Looks like, right?
Yeah, that's mm-hmm. a really good perspective of being able to say, hey, this might not benefit me this second.
Absolutely.
But it's going to benefit me in the long run, so I'm going to go ahead and deal with it right now this way versus trying to. Now, I know loan officers that'll this is a good example. They'll take any deal.
Right.
Well, they shouldn't. Mm-hmm. And sometimes when you take those deals, you shouldn't. And then you, later down the line, it's a decline. It's a turn down. It's a whole mess.
Right.
Or it's the customer service disaster because the person's toxic and, you know, problematic.
Right.
You know, passing on that up front saves you so much pain later.
Mm-hmm. You know what we call that in builder business? It's the grief versus reward ratio. I feel that every LO should have that in your toolkit, because before you take a deal, there's going to be grief. There's going to be reward. You need to analyze that situation and which percentage is higher, because before you stick yourself out there, your neck out there, and tank your team, because taking one deal can tank resources. And again, I'll be honest, look, this has a 30% chance of going through. So if you can do an assessment even to that business partner, that builder, that real estate agent, that way you're not taking on something that's going to be a challenge, and either you're late, it causes everybody this hope initially, and then you let them down, or coming out with stips later.
Oh, yeah.
Like, just explain it. Because I feel that if you're honest, maybe in the long game, it'd be this. I have said, hey, I don't have a product for this, but I think this company directly might have that. That might be good for you to try for the time being. I think if I try to do it and broker it or do it internally, man, it's going to have this overlay or that overlay. And when I explained it, I furthered that builder or that real estate agent. I didn't block them from getting business, because nobody likes a hater. Straight up. Nobody likes a hater at all. And that's not my game.
Nope.
I'm going to tell you who can do it.
Yep.
Can I do it? Yes or no? But if I can't, this is the person that can do it.
Yep.
My long game is strong.
But that's so, I love that so much. And I think people don't. They underestimate how important that is.
Absolutely.
You know, I used to joke that in my glory days of originating, some of my best referral partners were other loan officers.
Absolutely.
At other companies, because you operate with a mindset of abundance.
Absolutely.
And and some of my most loyal customers that gave me the most referrals were ones I sent to somebody else that I didn't even close their loan.
Yeah. Because they're like, wow, it's the respect.
Yeah.
It is the respect that you gain by not being a hater, not always bringing yourself up, because I can do that. You want to talk about this customer? I went into a builder office and I was visiting, and I visit to kind of study who their demographic is, who's buying your home. Again, you can't be an advisor unless you have studied the game.
So true.
So I go study the game. And if they said, man, I had this problem, why don't you ask your lender to try this? Oh, okay. They're this. Here's a list of things that they might be able to try.
Yeah.
And they'd write them down and they go talk to the lender that was working with the buyer.
Yeah.
Like I said, my long game is strong.
That's so good.
Because if that works for them, or they bring up the idea, I'll let that person have to contend with the way they do business.
Yeah.
And maybe I get that call back. And if you are that person, that go to that resource, man, that's how you get here.
So you win. So how long did it take you to break back into these accounts, break back into some builder opportunities? Like what was the grind like? What did it cost you to kind of get there again?
It cost me, using my savings, because I didn't have that income. I mean, I made a good living as a builder representative.
Absolutely.
That I walked away from, because clearly they said I was getting paid too much.
Yeah.
I was over their target.
I get
pay
it.
For a builder loan officer, which I'm looking around like, who tells you you're not supposed to make money?
I know.
Like, that didn't make sense. So I knew that it was time for me to maybe move on. So, you know, savings, I didn't advertise. I actually have never advertised.
Well, you did with your connection and your service to people.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was your advertising.
It was just me.
It was time and intention.
Yeah, absolutely. Very, very, I was very, very focused.
Yeah.
on what I wanted to accomplish. And like I said, what I wanted to accomplish was giving more than I take in the world, in life. And if you're giving, man, things, like you said, just, they flow, they come to you. So that's what I did, being a good representative out in the community and to people, and taking time with people, even when I got a buyer that maybe didn't have a great credit score, to just talk to them about things that they could do in general. Or
how many of your customers do you feel, I want to use the word, how many of your customers as a percentage are buying their first home?
Man.
You had to guess.
Maybe 80.
Yeah.
80.
So you're in the first time home buyer market.
Yes.
Which means they're coming in with a lack of knowledge. They've never done this thing before.
Absolutely.
There's a lot of resources. You're probably educating them on, which takes a lot of time. Mm-hmm. So let's go down another path for a few minutes on team.
Yes.
No one gets to 100 million on their own. That's just, I know this. I didn't get there on my own. Like I know that. So obviously you've built a team.
I did.
And let's talk about that process. What was that like for you? Learnings along the way.
It was interesting. So I was able to tap some of the people that I had worked with years ago that worked at the builder with me when I worked directly for a builder.
Yep.
It was one person, to be specific.
Yeah, sure.
A couple other people that I met in market that have been in business, believe it or not, for 20 plus years.
Yep.
I kind of told them my vision and that I wanted to, like I said, laugh along the way and not cry.
Yeah.
And then have everybody on the team be able to get paid, because it's not just about me.
That's right.
And they came along for the ride. My mistakes, I would say, I want to give everybody a chance, of course. I think that if people get into the business and they can learn it, but there is some trial and error hiring someone that maybe hasn't been licensed for very long.
Let me ask you this. What characteristics, if someone's looking to hire somebody, do you feel make up a successful team member? Like what if you could point it out and say, people that do this, this, and this are exceptional people, go find them, go hire them. What are the characteristics you think make up great teammates?
Emotional maturity.
I love that.
That's number one.
Yeah. But like, what do you mean when you say that? Like,
well, I'll give an example. If somebody emails you and says, why did this happen? And your first thing is to hop on and you're emotionally responding, I need you to disconnect from that. Your response needs to be very pointed, very specific, and factually based. I'm not into the feelings. Granted, I have feelings because I want people to get home.
So.
But I can't operate just in the feelings and the I want. That's not how you get loans approved.
Yep.
We're so, like the forensic scientists of the mortgage world.
It's so good. It's so true.
Right? Because you need documentation. You need these things to support everything you do and say. And I feel your responses should reflect that. And if you're not emotionally mature, how can you do that? I'll spend more time unwinding the crap that you lay out there for me to clean up, whether it's with a business partner or a customer.
Yep.
With you. Okay. Right. You can't get angry because someone says something to you. You know, you kind of have to exhale. And even if they say, you suck, I went and got a loan somewhere else, it's like, congratulations, because homeownership is important for everyone. I'm very happy for you. Please let me know if you have any questions. I'll be happy to answer them for you. Because I can't do every loan. I don't even advertise that. No.
So you got emotional maturity.
Yes, emotional maturity.
What else pops to mind? Anything else?
Being coachable.
Okay, so let's unpack that. Coachable. Mm-hmm. I agree. What do you look for somebody in coachability?
If you're on a team and there's a way or processes that are set up, you got to be able to conform to those processes. Take that advice.
Yeah. Take feedback.
Take feedback without, you know, carrying a chip on your shoulder per se. Everybody has to start somewhere. So if you come in and think you're supposed to start above where I'm at, it's a problem.
Yep.
Right out the gates. Yep. So you have to be coachable, because if you want to get further than where you are. I mean, like I said, I got coached. I got the heck coached out of me when I first went from retail and doing a handful of deals. Because even at Builder, I averaged 18 to 25 loans a month by myself, no assistance, no team.
In the JV.
In the JV, because you don't get assistance.
Oh, you're in the grinder.
Oh, you're in the grind. You're making, you're copy girl.
Yep.
Copy guy, you're whatever everything. That looks you're like. Everything. You're everything. Meeting with the customers, going to all the meetings. Packing your own files, sending your own disclosure. Like, you do everything by yourself. So if I can start there, get coached on how I handle files, take that, just like anybody, man, nobody in the NBA got where they're at. Not taking coaching.
No, of course not.
You can't operate at that level. So if you can't be coached, then that doesn't work.
So emotional maturity, coachable. Mm-hmm. Any others that jump out? Those are pretty big, like
those are
foundational.
Huge. Yeah, because I feel that if you're coachable, we can talk about loan guidelines, an aptitude to some type of aptitude to be able to learn or remember certain things, you know, retain information.
Yep.
You know, but like you said, the top two are the
maturity
two I gave
and
you.
Emotions control.
Emotional
and
maturity
coachability.
And coachability.
What do you think are the characteristics that have helped you be as successful as you are? And the reason I'm asking that is because there's people out there wondering, can I do this? You know, can I become this, reach this level of success? And so, you know, if you had to, we're kind of going inward now instead of, you know, the characteristics of the teammates, mm-hmm. what are the characteristics of you or loan officers that get this level that you think are really important and able to be able to get to where you got? How do you have to see the world? What's the framework?
I see the world as there's a lot of business out there for everybody to get. I don't feel like anybody is personally taking food out of my mouth.
I love the abundance.
Yeah. I'm going to go out there and I'm going to get what's made for me, period. Because there's a lid for every pot, like my granny said, God rest her soul. But she was so right. You know, when you think about that analogy, there are people out there for each person to do business with. So if you're not breaking through something, maybe rethink who you're out there trying to serve.
I like that. I like that.
Because the worst thing that I see is someone says, I woke up on Tuesday and I want to be I want to serve the luxury community.
Great.
Why, girl? Why?
Yeah.
Explain.
Yeah.
Why you woke up on Tuesday and thought that this was your lid for your pot. I don't get it. Why don't you get up and just serve human beings? And then when you do that, you can kind of figure out where your comfort level is and where that kind of leads you. Mm. And when helping everybody, I feel that you end up getting more.
What does a day in your life look like? You know, because I want someone to, you know, what time do you get up? What time do you get on the email? What time do you get to customers? How late do you work? You know, what's kind of the app? What does it look like?
So I get up about 4 a.m. When I get up, I feed my dog, of course. Pet the dog.
Oh, what kind of dog do you have?
A miniature schnauzer.
No, you don't.
Her name is Naomi, and she's so sassy.
A miniature schnauzer.
Yeah, miniature schnauzer Naomi, who is super sassy.
Perfect.
I actually feed her. I, you know, hit a protein drink and water and take vitamins. And believe it or not, I spend 30 minutes of that morning doing something or listening to something that's motivational.
Okay.
I feel I need to feed my brain and my soul and my spirit with something that's positive and that also teaches me and continues to feed me and tell me these are the things you do to be a good person.
Yep.
Whether it be Joyce Meyer, whether it be just a podcast that, again, sows goodness into my soul.
Yeah, you're putting that positivity in, that motivation
I need that. I'm a mom. I've got 3 bonus babies, 2 biological babies. So we've got 5 kids and a miniature schnauzer running around.
Got a lot.
I got a lot going on. I work out.
Yep.
I at least have to do something for 30 minutes. So the Peloton is my friend.
Yeah, I was on that this morning.
Even speed jump roping, squats, whatever that looks like on that given day. And then I hit the shower and I get dressed and I'm normally in my desk ready to work, say by 7 a.m., 6:45 to 7 a.m. In between the working out and what have you, after my soul feeding activity cannot be interrupted by emails, text messages, anything. That's why I do it first thing.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah. After that, I might hit an email or a text in between once you get to working out, your soul is fed, I feel like the juices are pumping. I'm most creative early in the morning. I can think about what needs to be done, what needs to be hit and touched. And then I go to work.
Yeah. And what time do you leave work?
If I'm at the office all day and not necessarily having gaps with a lot of meetings and things, believe it or not, I probably leave around 5:30.
Yeah, I like it.
And I also, I don't know if this is going to be popular. I got burned out doing builder business. Again, the 24 hour I'm available.
Yeah.
If I choose to be Target and not Walmart, I decided that I didn't want to be the Walmart of mortgage world. So yes, my voicemail tells if you leave me a message after 3 p.m., I'll be sure to return your phone call no later than the next business morning. Most times it's not the case. However, if I set boundaries,
yeah,
I got to have boundaries. Okay. I operate best in that. Again, if you're Walmart, man, you've seen the videos of the people at Walmart. It's not pretty. Who shows up late at night? Like,
I've been on the website, right? People at Walmart. Exactly. I know what's going on. I know
exactly. So I didn't want to be that, because it's true. You get the person at 8 o'clock at night that's got, you know, this Rubik's cube of stuff that you can't even untangle at 8 o'clock at night, because there's nobody around to ask a question. You can't call an underwriter, email an underwriter, ask a processor, or ask a manager. Everybody's gone. So if we set those boundaries, then maybe you go home and still finish up emails or whatever needs to be done, do marketing or whatever that is. But then you set those boundaries so your contact time is more or less during the meat and potatoes of the day.
Yes.
And when you set that up, that's what it looks like every day, and you won't face the burnout. So that's how I've kept going. And I started doing that about 5 years ago.
So Ken Lemus writes, blessings to be in the presence of Mozan Alec. That was nice. Ken, good to see you, buddy. Thanks for hanging with us. I want to share this perspective on the piggyback of what Mose just talked about. I have not met a top performer that doesn't have boundaries in their career. And we learn that along the way. We do get burned out, and we take it on too much, and we just keep going because we're high achievers and we're, you know, personally responsible and we're involved. But I think that perspective for anybody that wants to be a top performer is to understand where the boundary lines need to be, or you will burn out. You will not survive. And I like to think of it like this. Doctors, they see you when they're ready to see you. You sit in that little chair with your legs dangling, and you wait until they come in. And they're not going to come in until they're ready to see you. When they got the chart, they got the graph, they're ready to go. And so mortgage professionals, your knowledge, your skill set, it's worth something. You're valuable. And to set boundaries with people, they respect you.
Can you call the person that cuts your hair 16 times? And that's going to make them answer you faster.
Exactly.
Nope.
I mean, I'm at Supercuts, so they don't, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know if you've seen what's happening in my situation, but it's not going.
It's not a lot.
I don't have my barber. It doesn't care. They're like, come in when you want, but you're right. You have to have boundaries.
Yes.
I love that. Thank you for walking people through that. And then what else do you have to do what you do? You know, obviously you're driven. Obviously, you have a passion for the people that you serve, which is amazing. What are the characteristics that you think help you succeed?
Just the passion, the honesty. I like problem solving. I need something for my brain. I don't think that I could go, and I don't mean to offend anybody, because to each their own, but if I had to go sit at a desk every day and do the same exact thing over and over, I don't know that I could last.
Yep.
So thank you to Southwest Gas for telling me hell no when I moved to Las Vegas, because I don't know that my brain would have allowed me. I guess you got to be wired a certain way. I don't know. Because if you're driven, it's like, oh my gosh, I'm typing in the same thing. I look at the same reports. I do this every day. Man, I love the difference. I love the people I meet. Everybody's different. Everybody's credit's different.
Yeah.
Everybody's wants are different. And I think, again, approaching the business as a consultative situation really helps me. It's personally gratifying, but I think it's even more gratifying for the people that deal with me, because asking a customer, so it's not just about me qualifying, because I tell the customers, I said, hey, I don't want to just qualify you, because honestly, I'm not going to make your payment. They get a kick out of that.
I like that comment.
But if I tell you, I'm not going to make your payment, it's a 30-year commitment. So I need to know, again, what's the live for your pot? What do you think is your target payment?
Yeah.
How much payment would you target or want to make? Mm-hmm. So I said, I'll do two things for you. I'll tell you what you can get, and then I'm going to tell you what you can go buy to meet that payment goal that you have.
Yep.
And man, they just appreciate it beyond belief, because you've given them the high and maybe where they want to be. So telling someone they can go buy $500,000 doesn't do anything if they don't want to buy the payment. Right. So then you qualify somebody and they're out shopping and they can't stand it and you lose a customer because somebody else took that extra 6.5 minutes to just say, this is what I'm going to do, and prepare two estimates with our awesome technology, I must say, which takes literally 6 minutes to do. And then they can have both, but because you took it as a consultative approach, even qualifying somebody, they're going to stay with you, which is huge in this market. It's huge. Don't just tell somebody what they can get because they don't want to pay it. And if they do, great, but you can really help them hone in on what's important to them, because a lot of people don't know, especially with changes in rates over the last year, what does $500,000 look like on paper?
Right.
Maybe they want the payment that goes with 410.
Exactly.
Yeah. So that doing that with my business partners and giving them options, I think, is probably one of the best things, because a lot of people don't take the time to really figure how somebody ticks to offer them what's good for them.
Let's, I want to kind of dive through the end here with a couple questions around advice.
Okay.
So if you were sitting with a young up and comer, someone you thought had potential and talent to be a level of producer that you're at, what kind of advice do you give them? Is there like if there's three pieces of advice that you would be given to somebody, what would it be?
When you approach maybe a new opportunity, to toss out all your preconceived notions. So
what do you mean by that?
I think a lot of people kind of get into the business or even try to shift in their business with a lot of preconceived notions about what it should look like.
Mm, I agree. Go on.
I feel you're hampering yourself from actually falling into where you need to be. Because if I went with what people told me I should look like as far as my business and who I should be, you know, trying to do business with, I wouldn't be where I'm at. There's no way.
You know, I want to stay on that for a minute because I love that. I have a saying that tumbles around in my mind that assumptions kill deals, they kill sales, they kill great loan officers.
Absolutely.
And one of my favorites right now is the great example of not calling your customers to inquire about maybe a cash refinance or their financial situation because they have such a great mortgage rate. We did a lot of low rates in the last couple of years. We gave people a lot of low rates. Right. And loan officers just go, I make the death assumption of that they're fine. They're in a great position. I got them the best rate ever. Mm-hmm. Why would they ever want a higher rate? And that's a terrible assumption. You don't know what's going on in their life.
Mm-hmm. You don't.
Maybe they have a financial situation they got to deal with.
Maybe they have a kid that needs to go to college. Maybe
the kid's going to college. Mm-hmm. And so you're not going to call them because you're making an assumption about their situation. Mm-hmm. And I love how you frame this up for your own business. If you make an assumption about a business opportunity, about who you could be working with or not working with, mm-hmm. you limit yourself. It's a great advice.
You've cut off a vein to possibly what is your destiny.
Did you have a situation like that?
Well, everybody tries to tell you what you should be doing or how you should be doing it. And I was just like, I'm going to go free flow this.
I love it.
And just be me.
Yeah.
And dial in to what my passion is. And it's kind of silly and goofy, but that's literally how I got here. I just didn't have this picture of who I should be and who I should be doing loans for. And I'm only going to do loans for you just can't operate in that. It doesn't, like, you could be missing out on so much. Or how about this? Even what you think you should be getting paid. Wow. So you're only going to look at companies that pay X amount of basis points. That doesn't work either.
Yep.
You need to look at all the other benefits that you get working for a company that might pay a little bit less in basis points and how that might even out the situation of how you can help the consumer. Because if somebody tells you, hey, you need to only work at companies that pay 200 and 250 basis points, you need to look at what their rates are.
Yeah, it's the same customer who goes, what's your interest rate, and doesn't want to talk about fees, terms. You know, they're making a huge mistake.
Exactly. So that's a great comparison for somebody that's in the business. Don't cut off where, you know, an avenue to get somewhere to where you need to be. You have to really look at everything and maybe throw out that, you know, it's like your friends tell you, don't date that person, don't do this. You could be missing out on the greatest thing in your life because you thought you should be somewhere else. So,
so there's one good piece of advice. Mm-hmm. I love it. What's another one?
I I think the boundaries are probably pretty huge.
I was going to say, I'm glad you said that because I think people need to hear that. I think loan officers today that are doing 30, 40, 50 million a year need to hear that.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Set up those boundaries. Again, if you advertise yourself to be Walmart and you're opened all night, you're going to get the people of Walmart.
You don't know who.
Sorry, Walmart.
No, I mean, look, I think that knowing yourself is as important. If that's what you want, then go into it with eyes wide open. Mm-hmm. Don't turn around one day and go, why do all my customers treat me like crap?
Yeah. And how did I get here? No, did it because you were open 24/7 and Target clearly closes at 10, period. Like they've never had to go to that 24/7 model to have just a ton of people coming into their door. It's a different, it's just different. Like, I didn't want to be the Walmart.
What's the third? You have a third?
Let's see. Love what you do and approach it with passion and not the money first. Approach it with the help for people. And I promise you the business will follow.
Yeah,
100%. And I've timed it for my team. I had somebody sit with me and I said, so if a buyer to me is confused, to me, maybe they're not getting all that they personally need out of the conversation. It's not what I just feel I need to tell them because there are things I got to hit and make sure they understand and that I've said. So I picked up the phone and called them and said, hey, I want to just touch base. I want to make sure that we've kind of set up everything for you that you need to know about your process and your qualification and going to look for this house. He's like, awesome. Thanks for calling. So we went through it and kind of talked a little bit. And there were a couple things he was confused about, very minor things. However, after 36 minutes on the phone, we had went through what a payment looks like, his process, how homeowners association, being in Nevada, affects his purchase price amount. So me saying he's going to buy somewhere with no HOA isn't the same as him wanting a home that has a 250 HOA.
Yep.
And once he got down to that, it's because another lender had qualified him maybe for more.
Yeah.
And I think he felt a little disgruntled about the situation. And when I explained that, 36 minutes later, he was very clear. He did end up closing on a house. And he was so thankful for just 36 minutes.
Yep.
And I had to show the team member how it doesn't take hours. It didn't take days. It took 36 minutes to cement a relationship and someone who will probably refer everyone that they know to us because we spent 36 minutes on what was important to him.
Listening, asking the right questions, listening.
Yeah.
It's massive.
It's huge. It's huge.
Any final comments you'd have for anybody listening on how to get to 100 million?
Be you.
Oh, see, I'm so glad you said that because this is what by the way, Matt put up a nice comment. And I want to just say thanks. It's a great episode. So many great takeaways. Thanks for all the insights. So cool to hear Mose's story. This is what I want you to talk about as we close.
Sure.
The be you comment.
Yeah.
I absolutely believe it's our superpowers.
It is.
Because no one else can be you.
Nope.
No. And so you walk
Everybody can do FHA, baby, but nobody else
Everyone
is Mose.
Everyone can do FHA.
Look, I need nobody you to know, nobody else is Ms. Gatling.
Oh, there's the quote of the day. Oh, yes. My God, that's so good.
Yes.
Everyone can do FHA.
For those who can't say my name, I'll say it's Ms. Gatling if you're nasty.
Ms. Gatling.
Yes.
But no one can be Mose.
Nobody's me.
And that's one of the things I admire about you and your career and watching it from the sidelines a little bit and being a cheerleader is just you are unequivocally Mose.
All the time.
You are. And I'm sure there was a journey as that unleashed itself on the world. You know, I think some people, even in my early careers, I was a chameleon. I tried to be everything for everybody.
You can't.
And you just realize you can't. And so what's your encouragement for somebody out there who's maybe doubting that what if people don't like the real me, right? What if, you know, what would you share just as some encouragement on that?
Quote my grandmother and know that there is a lid for every pot. There is someone out there for you to do business with. There's a lot of somebodies because everybody needs a place to live. Yep. And when you just say that out loud, everybody needs a place to live. You know that there's just millions of people out there that you can really help and give advice to.
Yep.
You don't have to be, I don't have to be Alec. Alec's awesome. He's great at social media. I kind of suck at it. So I'm going to have to find my own lane with that, but I can't go be him. I have to be me. And when I'm unequivocally 100% me, people will gravitate to me for what I have to offer
yep.
the world.
Yep.
And I don't want to change that at all. And I don't want to go back on that for not one second at all.
That's the best. You heard it. You heard it from the rock star herself. Break out your superpower. Be you. Mosé, thank you for hanging with me today.
You're so welcome.
Everybody thank out there, we'll have me. More episodes in season 4 with $100 million producers giving you advice and strategy and encouragement how to get there. You're awesome. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mikey, take us home.
I appreciate it.
See you, everybody.
Bye.